So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic. My guest today is Iona Blake, Security and Incident Manager at Boots. Now, with almost 2,500 health and beauty stores, most of which include a pharmacy, Iona and her Boots team are very much at the heart of communities across the UK, looking after everything security related, from strategy to policy, operations, technology, incident response, enforcement, as well as external lobbying on behalf of team members in stores, pharmacy, supply chain, and the support office. Iona has a background in incident and risk management, as well as looking after a very long to-do list, clearly. Joined Boots about 12 years ago and has spent the last 5 years leading and developing the security agenda. So Iona, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to join us today, and welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Now, somewhere I always like to start is your career. So there you are, about to enter the workplace. Are you dreaming of a security and incident manager role at Boots? You know, what was the course? How did you get into the whole risk LP? So talk me through those early days and through to Boots now.
It was never a conscious choice. Career advisor at the age of 15 told me finance was definitely a route in. I hated math, so I thought, actually, really don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So started working in retail when I was 16, doing my GCSEs, and kind of loved it. You know, it was always about people, it was always about customers, and that real camaraderie spirit. So working for Arcadia, the top man at the very top of it, and then really falling in love with what customer service meant. But kind of then went down the public health route, so into hospitality, working behind the bars, onto then managing my own pub at a later date, and then realising, actually, if I do want a family, it's probably not the right environment to be bringing children up in. So I kind of then stayed in a customer environment, working in call centres, so went on to team lead in call centre, then had children, and then found myself, really interestingly, working in consumer safety testing and risk management, which was where I really got the buzz for risk management. And it happened accidentally. I've gone in to look after one particular retailer that needed some particular care from a customer point of view, and just fell in love with the risk management and, you know, what could happen and how do you make that work. And spent 5 great years working in a test lab based in Leicester. And then got the call to say they were looking for somebody that had got risk management and customer facing skills to go work at Boots. And kind of 12 and a half years ago, here I am, still later. Spent 5 years in customer care at Boots, looking after the best team in the world. They were brilliant. Then realised actually there's more to what we do from a customer side of things. Spent a bit of time in retail operations, got bitten by the operations side of customer care. And then an opportunity came up within this team to look after the really hardcore kind of incidents. 5 years later, probably have the best job in the business, if I'm being honest. And I love it. I love everything about it.
And what a great, I had no idea there was a publican phase in your background as well. So you're not troubled or disturbed by any sort of customer behaviour, organising. Yep, yeah, seen it all before.
Yeah, working in a council estate, public health. It kind of opens your eyes to a lot of things. There's not a great deal that kind of shocks me anymore.
Yeah, note to self: if ever I'm going to take up a life of crime, avoid Boots on all accounts. Then. So look, you've got this huge remit. I mean, it's just the most incredible breadth within your role. What on earth does your day-to-day look like? I mean, what takes up your time?
What takes up my time is helping the team kind of navigate the ship forward. So I'm really lucky to have the team that I've got around me. We are absolutely focused on making sure we've got a great plan to kind of succeed. So we're working really strongly in the space of our Keeping Yourself Safe program, which is the key thing for us. So reducing incidents of violence and threat and harm in our stores. I'm really thinking about how do we use the programme to make a difference. So, you know, how do we respond to threats, not just to colleagues, but also to our business, to our stores and things like that. So we spend a lot of time in that space. Probably about 15% of our role is reactive, so responding to the problems that happen. But having the great plan to kind of work through really, really helps. We've also really, really lucky to have our own CCTV monitoring centre based here at Boots. We've got just over 1,000 stores connected to that, and they're connected by a two-way panic alarm system. So if a store colleague hits that panic alarm and requires support, they get real-time immediate support. So we spend quite a bit of time nurturing that part of the business because that really is the lifeblood of what we do. And then think about different things that we can do. So we've got lots of other things going on at the moment. Everything from responding to break-ins, looking at different ways to manage risk from a safer program. So we've got a safer city program. So there's lots of things going on. I wish I could say they're a typical day.
Okay.
But yeah, just make sure you've got a bit of gap to breathe in case anything does go wrong.
Yeah, and to be fair, Boots is not really a typical retail. Often a retailer will specialise in one area, but I mean, you guys just do so many different things, from dispensing prescriptions through to retail, through to, you know, actually trying to encourage impulse purchases and the whole bit. So you touched on there, your team. Could you say, how is it structured? I mean, do each of those areas that you've got have a head of over it? I mean, how on earth do you organise a team to manage that business?
So I fit underneath the loft umbrella. So we've got our own team specifically looking at security. And then you have the wider loft umbrella that we sit as part of. And that real blended approach allows us to focus on security, but then support the loft agenda by making things different from a security point of view. So it's that real blended approach within the organisation, and we fit underneath the retail umbrella. It is quite a complex beast. I've got an individual within the team that really focuses on technology, by really driving the best out of what we currently have, but also what can we do differently. I've then got an analyst to really focus on the retail crime side of things. And then I've got somebody who is pure incident response, who manages the wider operation from the CCTV side of things. So it's definitely, how do you kind of give each of the team a real discipline, but make sure they can dovetail together, because that's where the golden moment comes from. And we're really lucky that we've got business partners across the store estate as well. So, you know, you mentioned 2,500 stores. Well, absolutely. But we've got everything from a really big flagship store to a health and beauty, to an edge of town. And then the majority of our estate are the smaller community pharmacies that need a different level of care and attention versus the big flagship. So our store operational support team, who we work alongside, really business partner with us to deliver it from a field point of view. And, you know, they're really the boots on the ground. So it sounds more complicated than it is, but it is absolutely about the relationships, and that's how we get things done, really.
And you mentioned there on relationships to get things done. What's your relationship like with sort of the board and senior management? You know, if you've got an issue, do you feel that you're listened to, if you want to bring forward a project for possible expenditure? I mean, what's the process? I mean, you strike me as very engaged. You're always happy, on the front foot, look like you're enjoying your role. And that generally tells me that you feel supported from the day to day. But what is that the reality?
Yeah, I think I'm really lucky that the whole Keeping Yourself Safe program is absolutely sponsored and endorsed by the HR director and also by the CEO. So we get that level of endorsement, but equally, on a monthly basis, we get time with the retail leadership team to really talk about the governance side of things, to really talk about, so this is what's happened, what can we do differently to make it even better for our colleagues? And that's been really, really important. It's also given us, it's demonstrated that the business trusts us in terms of what we do. So making sure we're accessible is really important. But the analysts I've got really think about how they can take the information that we've got and take that real data and help make it relevant to the business. So we're reacting purely on data, on facts, on truth, rather than an emotional response. And I think that's definitely, certainly in the five years I've been doing this role, that's really shifted for us. And that, I think that's given us a different level of credibility.
Yeah, interesting. And then, you know, in terms of all these sort of pulls on your time, and some of them are obviously, you know, organised crime and direct losses and administrative. Can you give us an insight as to where the main, you know, attack on the bottom line? What generates the shrink within the business? Don't expect to share specifics. You know, what's the internal picture look like? Do you have a process for that? I mean, how do you fit that together? And is there a common thread that says, okay, so internally is always in our top three, this is always in our top three? What's the makeup? What can you share?
So it's all around the leadership. So the leadership team that I sit within, you know, we've all got our own disciplines. So we have a team that's dedicated to fraudulent transactions. So be that team member led, or be that within the business and external, they've got all of the data tools to be able to make a real difference and really drive it out. So some of the tools that they use from a transactional analysis probably blows me away every time in terms of feedback and the way that they work. But my team work alongside that team to go, okay, so what CCTV do you need? What evidential training do you need? And then from the enforcement side of things, how can I think differently about supporting the peers that I work with? So, let me help pull those levers so that that organisation understands how important it is to the bigger picture. Because it's not, you know, there's never just one answer. If it was just one answer, our job would be so much easier, wouldn't it? But it is about in the round and getting the right picture. In terms of demands on our time, for me, and I'm really lucky in the business that we're in, the safety and security of every team member has been really, really important to the business. So that really helps us focus what's important to us. You know, really driving down incidents where our team potentially can put themselves in harm's way when they're dealing with a threat in store is the bit that we've really focused on, and we've seen some really, really big results on, actually. But it comes back to the core principles of who we are and what we do around caring, around community. So the fact that that rippled out, it makes that big portion of the day that you do invest in that pay off, really, you know, that real purpose.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, you sort of mentioned, you know, using data analytics and some technology to peer at things. I just had a flashback to my many years ago running stores, and with a spreadsheet for refunds, it makes me wonder how we ever caught anybody committing refund fraud with those very, very basic systems. They were incredibly time consuming, and I think it was more luck or a tip off than judgment to actually find anything. Look, I want to have a little chat with you about some of the projects that you're focusing on at the minute, and you mentioned the monitoring centre that you've got. But just before I come to that, we're going to take a brief word from our sponsors, Sensormatic, and then we'll be back.
Now, more than ever, retailers and shopping centres need to create efficient and safe shopping destinations that can thrive in the most challenging of market conditions. Sensormatic Solutions uniquely combines insights into loss and liability, shopper insights and inventory visibility, to help you power operational excellence and deliver frictionless, secure, personalized shopper experiences while driving revenue. Visit us at sensormatic.com to learn more.
So, welcome back. I'm joined by Iona Blake from Boots as my guest on the podcast this week. Iona, just before we had the break there, I mentioned I wanted to talk to you about some of the projects that you're working on at the moment. And you mentioned the CCTV monitoring centre, which I do happen to know has undergone significant expansion and investment, and it's a real, you know, flagship project for you guys. But can you give our audience an overview of it, and maybe walk us through how it works and the benefits that you're seeing?
Absolutely, Paul. So we're really, really lucky. It's in-house. It's based in our Nottingham site. We've just gone from a 5-desk operation to the capacity for 12. Because the more stores that we connect into the centre, the more activity we can bring into that. We've got a really great team, but the key thing of what they're responding to are things like panic alarms from stores. So every store where we invest into CCTV, we also install panic alarms, which are connected by audio and visual capability. So if a team member presses a panic alarm locally in a store, it will present immediately as an alarm into the monitoring centre. That gives us the ability to then to do a live audio broadcast to try and deter the activity. So anything from you in the red jumper, please leave this door now, okay, to a reminder to say CCTV and audio is being recorded in the store. We've seen some great results. You know, I think the most important result we've seen are our team in store saying that they feel supported, that they know there's somebody there. And it's made a real difference to certainly some of the scores that we see from colleague engagement and how safe people feel at work. But further and above that, we've seen it really disrupt some of the criminal behaviour in store. So it certainly reduces incidents of violence, reminds people, it's almost that behavioural check, because society is quite easily triggered sometimes, that they forget that they've got a level of manners that they need to kind of work through in life. That presence of a voice of just somebody else that can see your behaviour and you are being recorded has been really powerful. So that's during the training hours. They do an awful lot of work as well in recognising regular prolific offenders coming in. So they work closely with a lot of the police forces. We've done some great work with Nottinghamshire Police and also with the Met in particular, where we've bundled up crime evidence, CCTV reports, MG11, to then hand to the police so we get a better response. And certainly that really, really helps in driving out some of the real prolific offenders, particularly in our smaller locations, and it's made a real difference how the teams feel in store. Outside of hours, similar kind of setup, because we're a 365 24/7 operation, but instead of it being a panic alarm that's activated, it is a digital barrier, so a perimeter type alarm. And again, we can broadcast into the public. Outside of retail parks, for example, today the police have been called to leave, and we've seen some really big successes where the technology is right, and it's important to kind of get the right blend of technology, again, depending on what type of shop it is, to really disrupt that activity. So we're really lucky to have it. We recognise how great it is, but to be able to see that the business has chosen to invest in it, to take it forward as well, it's a really exciting time for us.
And I mean, it's just, yeah, a great solution. In terms of constructing that, I mean, the room, obviously, you said, is in the head office in Nottingham. The technology and the bits that's plugging that together, was that existing CCTV in the stores that was upgraded? Was it a new install? Is it a, and you say it's recorded. I'm just interested which bits have been plugged together. So, you know, where do you start with that, and who do you bring in to make it all happen?
To anybody that wants to embark on this kind of project, make your IT team your best friend. If you go off in isolation without them, when you have a problem later on down the line, they're a little bit less reluctant to come on the journey. So we're really fortunate that because people get what we're trying to achieve, our IT team has really been partners with us. But we started off really with it being on a digital journey. The panic alarm interface came from a pharmaceutical side of things to go, it's a nice to have if you can provide a panic alarm system. We originally had like a Starbucks old style telephony system that was managed by a third party, and that's kind of the birth point of where we came from. Realising you can then do the video alarms through your BMS system, and you know, we were just installing digital new systems. What we've been able to do is we've implemented almost an alarm receiving software that is agnostic, and we can plug anything in. So we're doing everything from brand new digital installations to taking a hybrid solution of an old analog system, upgrading it a bit with a bit of extra investment, putting in network video recorders to bring it back, and then on top of that, then installing the panic alarm on top of it. So we're trying to get the most bang for our buck. It's about finding the right solution, because what works in one of my favourite shops in the business, so Covent Garden, is not the same as what will work in our local pharmacy store. So finding the right solution and making it work. And again, using the data, because you will need an all-thing and all-dancing system in some stores. But in other stores, they just need to be able to get a response, and they need some really basic evidential. So finding the right balance. It's not about sheep dipping everybody the same.
It sounds fantastic, and I bet you've learned an awful lot along the journey. I'm sat here listening to that, knowing a ton of other retailers that would come on board. I'm wondering whether, you know, you should head up the Boots vendor division and start selling this to other retailers. And who knows, you might get your bit for free by the time you've finished.
Yeah, and you know, we're lucky to work really closely with a lot of retailers. So a number of retailers have been with us on this journey. They've been to see our operation, as it was previously, because the building work were delayed by COVID. It wasn't everything. But now, you know, the building work's complete. I'm looking forward to when we can do the official opening, now that we're complete, and, you know, welcoming some of our retail colleagues back in, because it's important that we all work together, because we're all trying to defeat the same problem. You know, I can put a ring of steel around all of my shops, but if my retail counterparts are not with me on the journey, then all I'm going to do is shift the problem next door.
Amazing. And all I was hearing there was a grand opening organised by you, a former publican. I just want to make sure I get an invite to that that opening.
I can't possibly comment on that, Paul.
Now, it's not. I know it's not just that monitoring centre. I was reading about you've got the Safer City programme and this amazing, is it a 3-year plan around persistent offenders as well? Quite sort of cutting edge thinking. Can you just give me an overview on those couple of projects as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Safer City was all about, well, if we're moving guarding from one location to another, all we're doing is shifting the problem, you know, the back to the ring of steel side of things. So we've really gone after what can we do differently in our real high impact crime areas. And we started with Birmingham. You know, if you can make anything from a strategy to keep people, your team safer and more secure, Birmingham probably a hotspot for every retailer speaker. And we've got really four umbrellas that we work with under the Safe City Programme. One is capability, so helping all our teams be the very best they can be. So training, confidence, giving them extra tools, really talking about lifting the profile of what to do to keep yourself safe and secure. Technology, the key thing in that as well, that's one of our key parts of strategy. How do we use what we've got really well, and what can we do that's new and different? So we've even introduced colleague-worn body cameras into Birmingham, which we've seen some great successes with. On top of that, intelligent ways of working. So we're working really closely with the police, so West Midlands Police, and then South Yorkshire Police and Safer City too. South Yorkshire have been exceptional. So really working with them to drive out some of the people that continue to cause harm, but also then the final part of the jigsaw, which has been challenging during COVID, is around the partnership piece. Because the crime isn't just affecting my team in my store, the crime's affecting the whole community. You know, and our team still have to get off the bus or walk to their place of work. And if they're not feeling safe, then they won't want to come to work. And if they don't want to come to work, then that will play out in their interactions with customers, which is why I've come to work. You know, it's back to the customer again for me. So the Safer City programme's been brilliant. We've seen some great results in Birmingham. Still got more to go after. Safer City 2, Sheffield and Rotherham. And we're working with other retailers as well. So it's great to be able to work alongside the likes of McColl's and Tesco's, OneStop, and everybody else. You know, we were even speaking with people like Greg because they're quite core to many of our high streets. So it's not just a one problem. So that's the Safer City programme. But then alongside that, we've got the persistent and prolific offenders. So that's got three elements to it. So that is your juvenile or first-time offender. So how can you help ensure that juveniles don't become criminalised for one mistake? So how do we work differently in educating? We've all got a role to play in that. You know, the other side of that is enforcement. So how do we work differently? And again, South Yorkshire Police and the Met, you know, have been working with us to drive out some of our real hardcore persistent offenders because they're never going to go away. But also, you can't arrest your way out of every situation. So on the other side of that, we've got substance addicted. So your substance-dependent offenders, what can we do differently? And we are supporting a couple of offenders through the West Midlands Police Programme for the offender to rehab. So really excited about giving an individual an opportunity because we already do community rehabilitation from a pharmacy point of view. We see the benefit of helping an individual that's made some tough decisions down their life to start to normalise and go back to the community. And that's what we just want to do a bit more of that. So not just one thing that will fix it for.
Yeah, and great, you know, it's really great to see. I think, you know, retailers that, you know, depend on communities for their business actually sort of getting involved. And, you know, those people that have dependencies, they're not just going to be troublesome to you as a retailer. They're going to be, you know, troublesome for the community as well because of that dependency. So, yeah, I think any of those steps are, you know, hugely beneficial. I think the local community appreciates them as well, don't they? It's kind of, you know, I'm a big fan of what the co-op has done, particularly during the pandemic of, you know, yeah, I think it's done a terrific job of sort of stepping up for the community. And I think Boots is probably in that category as well as sort of because of the number of stores and because of where you sit. So now great programme. It sounds as if you've got everything covered and there couldn't possibly be anything else that you would wish for. But let's just say, hypothetically, you get a little memo from the board. They say everything you've invested in has just been fantastic. What can we roll out? What would Iona like to spend her money on? What project would it be? Is there anything on your wish list that that you would bring forward?
I think it's connecting every single one of our shops. So it's not just the ones that are already connected. So how do I get everybody? So every team member has that minimum standard of care. How do I bring all of those in? And then, you know, how do we get to a place where analytics will work better? But I think where I think there's some real benefit would be, how do you really integrate CCTV into your transactional analysis tools, so everything's really seamless, so it's all there and it presents itself really differently. Because whilst we've got some great tools, I want them all to knit together, which is really important why we've focused on going for agnostic solutions. So when somebody can bring it all together almost in this hive, how does that work? So that's where I'd want us to really think about investing.
Yeah, I mean, that, I guess, is the ultimate aim, isn't it, to get it all linked together. But, but you know, it sounds as if, you know, you're on that journey. So this is just a continuation, isn't it, of what started. So, fingers crossed you can make that sell into the ball and keep that going. Yeah. Now, final question for you. There's been lots of disruption in high streets around the world, predominantly in the UK in terms of your responsibility. But how do you see, you know, high streets and physical retail, you know, bouncing back, evolving over the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years? What's your personal thoughts on it?
Definitely for me, bricks and mortar will live. That's one thing we've proven, certainly from an essential retailer side of things. Bricks and mortar is critical still to the community. And particularly, you know, we have the added benefit of being able to provide NHS services within the community through our local pharmacies. So bricks and mortar will still live, because people will want their healthcare how they want it. And I'm really excited about how that will start to develop in the future. But I definitely think omnichannel is a way forward, because I want to shop on my time, the way I want to shop, how I want to shop. You know, the last 12 to 14 months has taught us that anything is that we can choose to have a shop. Customers are desperate to come back out and shop. I think some places will be harder to recover. I definitely think where you've got higher levels of vacant units, so with some of the retailers that are closed, I think that will hurt some of the high streets in particular. But I think given where we're at the moment, we've done a great job with the vaccination programme. People are happier to come out and shop now, you know. Retail parks are buzzing. You know, I've driven past 6 retail parks on Friday and I was excited by how many people were queuing to get into them, despite the fact I was sat in traffic trying to get past them. So bricks and mortar will definitely live full, but I think there's definitely a new place for omnichannel to really start to be different.
Yeah, it's. I think you're right. It is that there is a shift and a different hybrid that's going to appear. But I'm totally with you. You know, particularly the out of town and the open air retail parks. I've visited a few and you know, the stores with barriers outside, you know, directing customers and, you know, people directing traffic and you know, having to change the entry. The last one I went in that had to change the way into the park. But again, we've all seen the queues outside of McDonald's and KFC, but the queue outside the McDonald's was just depending on your perspective, fantastic or terrifying. It is just great to see, you know, vast numbers of people coming back. I visited a few shopping centres, shopping malls, and they, as yet, the ones I've been in, don't seem to have enjoyed quite the same bounce back, and those empty units are more of a challenge. But I think you're right, you know, having that omni-channel embracing is definitely the way forward. Perhaps we'll see, you know, Waterstones bookshops and more coffee shops inside boot stores in the future to kind of mix it up a little bit. Next have certainly done quite well with that sort of approach. So maybe that's the way. Look, Iona, thank you so much indeed for joining me today. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for running through some of the great projects and work that you've got going on with Boots. I wish you every success and look forward to seeing you again in person in the very near future.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me, Paul.
Thanks now.